Good afternoon, everyone. The meeting of the Ways and Means will come to order. Clerk will note the roll. There is a quorum. Members, we have the minutes of April 17th before us. Are there any corrections, additions, or changes to the minutes? Anyone want to make a motion on that? Representative Detmer moves approval of the minutes.
Mr. Chair, yes, I move the minutes. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the minutes of April 17th being approved, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Members, as I announced on the floor, what we're going to do is take up the budget resolution now. Then we're going to recess to take up the higher education bill and the public safety bill this evening. Reason for that is there are a lot of other committees going on this afternoon, and I think that it'll be easier for members to be here and give this committee its full attention if we do that recess. So members, with that, I'm going to move the A24 amendment to the budget resolution. And I'm going to actually make a oral incorporation into that. On page 1, line 6, where it says delete $2,946,000,000 and insert $2,949,353,000, I'm going to change that last number to $2,949,328,000. And the reason for that is that one amendment that we had that cost $25,000 is now not going to be offered. And so, members, what this would do is page 1, line 6, it would increase the target for higher education by $3,328,000 and would increase the target for health and human services by $139,667,000. Oh, and then I also need to make oral incorporation on page 1, line 4. To make the total number $42,746,990,000. Is there any discussion to the A24 amendment? Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, you know, I have, just like the other day, no problem, obviously, with your putting more into higher education or health and human services, simply because those were two committees that did have, in my view, some pretty low targets. Nor do I have a big problem where the higher ed dollars are ultimately going to go. I know that's not part of the budget resolution, but I think I would be remiss if I didn't say, being that the higher ed one is up before us tonight, that you know, I do have major concerns about the overall funding for higher ed. And then, you know, basically, as I understand it, this $3,353,000 is the total that will be going to the University of Minnesota once we have that bill before us. And it's just grossly underfunding higher ed. Most of it's going to Minsku that was in the target, but even Minsku with most of it going there is underfunded. And then until this passes, the university was going to get zero increase. So two of their campuses will be covered, but there's still, you know, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Duluth, and the Rochester Center that will be, once that bill is before us tonight, receiving nothing in terms of an increase. But with that, I certainly would support what you're doing in the budget resolution amendment. Just wish it were a bit more, quite a bit more.
Thank you, Representative Carlson. Other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the A24 amendment as amended, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The A24 amendment is adopted. Members, with that, I will, just a second. I am going to also, and I talked to Representative Carlson about this briefly today, we'll pass out the rules tonight. but I'm going to amend the committee rules in two ways. First of all, with us getting to the point in session where there are lots of multiple committees meeting and the schedule being up in the air, I don't want anyone to be worried that they're not going to be given an excused absence notice if they're not here. So I want to make it clear that every one who's not here will be considered excused. And secondly, as you look at the 24-hour rule that we've had, with the way the bills are getting referred on the floor in terms of the different times that floor is meeting and such, some of the time the 24-hour rule would be in effect on bills. Some of the time there would be no rule that would be in effect for amendments. And so I would like to change that to be a simple two-hour rule, that if you've got amendments that you would get them to us no later than 2 hours before the start of the committee to be considered. Now, I'd really appreciate it for the public's sake, for staff's sake, if we could get them the night before. But just so that we've got kind of a consistent rule and people are not in a situation where they thought the 24-hour rule applied on this bill, but they didn't realize it didn't apply it on another bill, I'm going to issue new rules so that I'm hoping this will be more accommodating to everyone so that they're not having amendments considered that they'd otherwise like to have considered. And I'll pass those out tonight. If someone's got any problems with that, you can talk to me in the interim. But that's what my intention is to do. Any questions on that? Okay, with that, members, I know that we've got other committees to go to. I'm going to recess the committee until 7 o'clock this evening, when we'll be back in this room, room 200, to take up higher education and public safety. We are in recess. Good evening, everyone. I will reconvene the Ways and Means Committee. Sorry, folks, I know the Wild are playing at 7, so I have been informed by many, many, many people since I set the meeting time, but I'm afraid this is the time that we have to have. So members, we've got two bills tonight, the public safety bill, the higher education bill. We're going to do the public safety bill first. I'll have Representative Cornish go ahead and walk us through the public safety bill. Representative Cornish moves that House File 849 be referred to the General Register. Chair Cornish.
Hey, Mr. Chairman and members, if I could start off with the help from a page. I've got treats.
Ooh.
This is a bear sausage from a bear that I shot. And there should be enough for one piece for everybody, and take a napkin and enjoy.
Oh, it goes with the cookies, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's a supper time here. I thought that if there's one piece for everybody, and if there's leftovers, they go to the chair. So.
Ah, well, thank you, sir.
All right, House File 849. I don't have to explain a lot to everybody here as a pretty senior member or veteran. But what it is a public safety crime prevention and policy finance, an omnibus bill, policy and finance. And it has to do with courts, cops, and criminals. Basically, this bill deals with apprehension, detection, evidence, defense, courts, specialty courts, and even when they get out, probationary services. And in your packet, you'll have several documents. If you don't mind, Mr. Chair, I'd run through the budget sheet first.
Sure.
And I'm going to try to do this on my own and go through it. And if I need help, I've got the fiscal analyst and research here on any questions that I can't answer. And I'll give a run through on the budget sheet. And then Representative Carlson brought up the other day that he would like to see policy that were finance-related or drivers for finance, and so I've separated out the policy bills that do that. And then if you want to go through each policy after that, I can do that too. But I thought the most interest would be in the policies that either have finance in them or drive finance. And the budget sheet looks like this. If you want to pull it out, I'll start running through it. First of all, on page one, we have the Supreme Court, and you'll notice that we gave the judges 1.5 and 1.5. The governor's rex was for 5 and 5. If you would like, I just run through it and take questions after, come back, or questions as we go through?
Why don't you go ahead and just run through a Chair Cornish, and then we'll take questions.
Okay. We took the governor's rex on the insurance increases, and like I say, we were 1.5 and 1.5. And then you'll notice civil legal services.
Okay.
Well, we cut that back from a request of a little over $1 million to $500,000. Court of Appeals was the same thing, 1.5. And the governor's recs, other than that, district courts, 1.5. You'll notice on the juror mileage and per diem, we left it as it is. We didn't take the recs there. And then when I come back through the policy to do with finance, you'll see the additional court funding on this section of district courts. The guardian ad litem, we took 1.5 salary there. We gave the insurance increases, salary supplement, but we didn't take the pay equity, you'll notice. The tax courts, we gave 1.5, but we didn't give the additional FTE for the law clerk. Uniform Laws Commission, GovRex, Board of Judicial Standards, GovRex. Public defense, we took the governor's rec from 41 down to 20.5 and gave the compensation and insurance increase. Moving on into public safety, there is the 1.8 in the rest of the salaries that you'll see in each one. We took the governor's rec of 1.8. The state-only, the disaster records management, we cut the governor's rec from 2 to 1. And then you'll see an addition in there of anti-ISIL, Al-Shabaab recruitment. We put 25,000 in there. Then the salaries and insurance. And then you'll notice a chemical assessment emergency response. That comes from the fire safety account. And whenever you see something to do with the fire safety account, that's just a transfer of money within. It's not the expenditure of new money. It's the distribution of the money that's already in the fire safety account. Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, we changed that quite a bit on the latent fingerprint examiners. The governor's recs were 5. We did 2. Mitochondrial DNA, the governor's recs were 2. We did 1. You'll notice that just about everything is in half. Digital forensics from 9 down to 4.5 from the recs. Financial crimes was 5 to 2.5. Predatory crimes, governor was 13. We were at 6.5. And then the replacement of the live scan machines, these are the machines that do the fingerprints. And we cut that down, the request to $650,000 instead of $911,000. Salaries insurance, again, is 1.8. Fire marshal's office, those, again, you'll see the salary insurance we took. But the and then the other house files you'll see is the distribution of the money in the fire safety account, pretty much the way the fire safety people wanted it. Then gambling and alcohol enforcement, governor's recs, Office of Justice Programs, 1.8. And then you'll see the various bills there that we put in there. And with an addition of money, you'll see on the right from 50,000 to 100,000 to 250 to 50. You'll match them up on the lines over there in 16 and 17. Emergency Communications Network, we took the governor's recs. They have the authority to increase their own. We didn't do anything with that. On to the Peace Officers Board, Governor's Rex, Private Detective Board, Governor's Rex. Corrections was the 1.8, again in salary. Here's the biggest change we made was the kitchen workers to state employees. We didn't fund that at all. They had asked for 74. The electronic health records, we didn't fund the FTEs. 24-hour coverage for 3 facilities was 19. We took that to 0. The Fugitive Apprehension Task Force, we funded that at the original governor's rec. The supplemental budget came out with 3 more. They'd originally asked for 5. We funded that at 5. And then there's a couple of sex trafficking positions and provisions in criminal vehicular homicide. We can cover that when we go through the bills. In the community services, we took the original governor's recs. He had distributed more in his supplemental bill, but we took the original governor's recs of funding the probation. And you'll see another House file 743, Scott County probation. That amounted to Scott County entered into a probation agreement that it cost them more money than we had originally estimated, so we funded that at $85 a year. In the operation support, there was a bill for insurance for permanently disabled employees. We talked to the agencies, and they are going to absorb that cost of $17,000 per year. Then IT modernization, the governor's recs were 11, we took 3.5. Sentencing guidelines, governor's recs, and the Mine Corps, we in there we have taken some money for post-board de-escalation for training. That's for de-escalation, I think it was for veterans of PTSD, for cop training for how to deal with those folks. And then the post-board salary and insurance revenue loss. I think I'll have my fiscal analyst, even though he explained it twice to me, it was tough for me to put into words. So I'll have Mr. Walsh explain the post-board salary and insurance revenue loss.
Mr. Walls, welcome to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, thank you. John Walls from the House Fiscal Analysis. Just to go over very quickly, there's collections that the post board, there's a special revenue fund for the post board from all of their licensing duties that collects the money from the licensing. However, and we appropriate out of that SGSR fund. Whatever is not appropriated from that fund transfers to the general fund. So anytime we spend additional money from that fund to give to the post board, we show a corresponding loss to the general fund. And so these two items essentially just mirror the two appropriations that we made to the post board.
Thank you, Mr. Rolls. And Mr. Chairman and members.
Representative Cornish.
Then on the, I should say that in this bill, I think it was a pretty bipartisan bill, and we funded as much as we could. We've got five bills alone from my lead, Representative Hillstrom, and a number of bills there, bipartisan bills with money attached on both sides. And naturally in this, there's going to be a number of items where we get into that people wish we would have spent more money on. We tried to put, instead of funding one fully and leaving all the others out, what we did is we placed money in on a number of different bills and asks. The bills that that affected the finance or spent money in numerical order, House File 71 is criminal vehicular homicide to enhance some penalties for that. Mr. Representative O'Driscoll's House File 406 with the de-escalation grants. House File 425 with grants for crime victim services. House File 503, Representative Johnson, was grants for child advocacy centers. House File 743 was Representative Scott's, or Representative Albright Scott County probation. House File 755 was grants for prosecutor and law enforcement training, Representative Hillstrom, 755. House File 800 as amended was the fire safety account, all the different did into the different accounts. House File 1180 was the funding for the specialty courts. House File 1232 is the sex trafficking bill of Quams. And House File 1500 was Representative Schoen, grants for crime victim support. And House File 1776 was the Representative Pinto's bill that he put on quite a demonstration. We got that bill very late, and it didn't actually think we were going to fund it, and he put on a very good presentation with a lot of interest in law enforcement and some impressive testimony, so we funded that as much as we could. And that's about it for the finance bills that either cost money or that we funded. And then you either take questions now, or do you want to add the author's amendment and several others?
Well, maybe I'll just ask if anyone had any questions on your overview. Any members have questions for Chair Cornish on the overview he just did, Representative Carlson?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I was trying to. You were going pretty fast. You mentioned law enforcement training at one point, and what exactly is that? And what the reason I'm asking the question is that we've got quite a number of law enforcement training programs in the Minsky system. Is that where it's being done, or is it being done somewhere else?
Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson, usually when you hear about the training for peace officers, it falls under the Post Board. We distribute money to the Post Board, and we get money out of the traffic safety traffic surcharge on tickets that goes to the Post Board, and they distribute it out. But it's actually never enough. We fall short of that. But this is different. This is training that used to be in the Attorney General's budget, I think, years ago at $60,000. And then it wasn't funded, and it was very important money that we give to the prosecutors to do training for law enforcement, and expressed quite a bit of need for that, and so we funded it at, what's $100,000, Mr. Walsh? The prosecutor training, law enforcement training was, I'll find it here on the...
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Cornish, it's $100,000 a year.
$100,000, so I thought. Well, that's what that's about, Representative Carlson.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, that was my only question about the law enforcement. I was just interested in being referenced at where the training was taking place. I'm familiar with, we do some things through Post Board, and they've got the grants, and then there's the MINSCU programs that deal with law enforcement training as well. In fact, one up in the general area where Representative Hillstrom and I represent on the Hennepin Tech College campus in Brooklyn Park.
All right. Any other questions for Chair Cornish on his overview? If not, we have an author's amendment, which is the A-15 amendment. Representative Cornish moves the A-15 amendment. And there are a couple of amendments to the amendment. One, which is a technical amendment that has been given me, I guess that I'll move, is page 1, line 9, page 1 after line 9, insert page 4, line 8, delete $14,697,000, and insert $14,772,000. And I'll repeat that again. Page 1 after line 9, insert. Page 4, line 8, delete $14,697,000 and insert $14,772,000. And maybe I can call on Mr. Marks to describe this amendment, or Mr. Walls I'll call on.
Mr. Chair and members, in when we voted the bill out of committee, there was an amendment to add $75,000 the second year from House File 800 that was not picked up in the bill originally. That amendment had a revisor's instruction to amend bill and fund totals accordingly, and that was just one of the totals that was not adjusted from that amendment.
Okay. Any questions on the oral amendment to the A-15 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of the amendment signify by saying, amendment to the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment to the amendment is adopted. Next, members, we have another amendment to the amendment, which is the A-84 amendment to the amendment. And Chair Cornish, do you want to move this one, or would you like me to?
Why don't you go ahead, Mr. Chair, if you
will. Okay, I'll move the A-84 amendment to the amendment. And members of the committee, you may recognize this. This is language that was in the transportation bill that we dealt with last week. After discussing it further, we felt that this sort of language should really be carried in this bill as well. And so we're offering it to be carried in this bill as an amendment to the author's amendment. Any questions on the A84 amendment to the amendment? Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As I was the one that brought up this issue, Representative Cornish, will it be deleted out of the bill and you will be the only one carrying it, or are you intending on it still being negotiated in, as part of transportation?
Say again, I'm sorry.
Representative Cornish, are you going to have them delete this provision from the transportation bill, or is it going to be in both?
As far as I know, Mr. Chair, Representative Hillstrom, will be in both.
Any other discussion to the A84 amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of the A84 amendment to the amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment to the amendment is adopted. Representative Cornish, to the A15 amendment as amended.
Mr. Chair and members, as much as I hate reading things, it's quite an extensive explanation here on the A15. They're rather technical, but to tell you what it does is the amendment adds rider language for the Supreme Court that's usually included in the omnibus bill. The governor apparently forgot to include it in their budget bill, but it requests it be added now. It clarifies that $5,000 of the appropriation each year is for a contingent account. And then the amendment adds $18,000 to the appropriation for the BCA. If there was a spreadsheet error, we found that they actually have $18,000 on the bottom line. And after this is added, the appropriations in the bill will match the spending target. Lines 1.12 to 1.14 delegate two sections of rider language the governor included in his budget bill. This was the language the governor's office mistakenly included and doesn't want. It was apparently in the previous biennium's bill, and they forgot to take it out of the template. Finally, a new section is added to the bill that says if an inmate receiving medical detention while inpatient in a medical institution is convicted of assault, the sentence imposed shall be executed and run consecutively to any unexpired portion of the earlier sentence. This was a portion of the larger bill that carried a fiscal note. We would have included it in the committee, but we're waiting to make sure this section didn't have a fiscal impact. We now know that it doesn't have a fiscal impact and would like it included. So that's the explanation of the A15.
Any questions to the A15 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of the A15 amendment as amended, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The A15 amendment as amended is adopted. Next, members, let's take up the A13 amendment. I believe this is an amendment from Representative Hackbarth. Representative Hackbarth moves the A13 amendment. Representative Hackbarth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, this is an amendment that it's a bill that we had on the floor the other day, the suppressor bill. There's some other provisions in Representative Cornish's bill that have to do with guns that we also voted on the House floor. This bill passed, I think it was 89 to 40, something like that, on the House floor. And I would urge your support.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, Representative Hackbarth, is this the exact language as it was on the floor, or have you made any changes?
Representative Hackbarth.
Mr. Chairman, it's the exact same language, exactly.
Other questions to the A13 amendment? Seeing no questions, all in favor of the A13 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. The A13 amendment is adopted. And the final amendment of which I'm aware is the A15-0508 amendment, Representative Kahn. Now, I guess, Representative Kahn, I'll recognize you. You do want to offer this amendment now, is that right?
Yes, I do. And then I guess I would take the funding from the same, from the Marine Corps. I didn't realize I didn't put the additional funding in, and I would take it from the same places, from the Marine Corps line.
Okay, Representative Connie, we did not add any additional funding to this bill in the budget resolution.
No, so that's why the Marine Corps line is in this bill, and so I would lower the Marine Corps line and take this and put the extra $200,000, take it from the Marine Corps and put it into this appropriation.
Okay. Mr. Marks, you
it's a special
have
revenue fund.
Have well, a page and line that you could refer us to, or Mr. Walls.
Mr. Chair and members, if you would like to make the amendment work with an additional transfer from the MinCorps fund, the amendment would include on page 14, line 26, strike the first $550,000 and insert $775,000. And on line 27, strike $550,000 each year and insert $775,000 the first year and $550,000 the second year. And that should take care of it.
Okay, and
okay.
Yeah, members, we I guess Representative Tan had gotten this amendment to me a little after the amendment deadline on Friday night, but I still feel like we should take it. And I guess rather than going through and trying to amend the amendment, I think we'll just incorporate these changes into the amendment. And so,
let me say,
Representative Kahn, go ahead.
Let me say what it's about. In order to understand what this amendment is, you need to turn to page, most of the language is in page 5 of the bill. If you want to know why it's particularly important right now, you can. I just was reading an article. This is about developing strategies to combat recruitment of Minnesota residents by terrorist organizations such as ISIS and Al-Shabaab. The reason why I became particularly concerned about owning it is that you just have to, you don't even have to go to the local papers. You can go to the Christian Science Monitor today, that talks about the 6 people who have just been arrested from San Diego and Minnesota. I haven't seen the details to know yet if they're from my district, which does have the largest Somali population in Minnesota and probably the largest Somali paper population outside of Somalia. And this, you know, 25, when you look at what the problem is and the work that both the FBI is doing and that the local groups are trying to do, and you look at the difficulty in doing this because of the problems that the local Somali groups have with extreme, particularly from the federal level, involvement of law enforcement, I think for a problem that's this serious and that affects one portion of the state, I think $25,000 is just a too trivial an amount to think about. And I think, again, when Minneapolis hits the headlines of the Christian Science Monitor today, I think it should be obvious that it's a serious problem for us all to be concerned about.
$250,000.
Okay. So, and I think we just need, it's the kind of thing that we just need a larger sum to deal with, and $25,000 hardly deals with the salary of one person for a few months. So, okay.
One question I have, which I guess I can ask you, Chair Cornish, or Mr. Walls, I guess, first of all, Chair Cornish, if you want to respond to this. But secondly, is there an extra $225,000 in the MinCorps fund to take?
Well, Mr. Chair and members, that might be arguable, I suppose, with somebody from the Department of Corrections. But, yeah, they do have a seem like a balance. Naturally, they want to spend their money in different ways with their balance and have some future projects, but unless you want to hear from them, I have no problem with the amendment.
All right. Members, any other questions for Representative Kahn or Chair Cornish?
And I can send you the article from the Christian Science Monitor if you want to. It's really scary in terms of the problem and in terms of the problems that they have dealing with the people here. You know, it needs much more than just marching in and saying, we're going to stop this. So.
All right. Well, seeing no further discussion, we will again incorporate the reference to MinCorps and the other language that Representative Kahn spoke of, so that this additional $225,000 comes from the MinCorps account. Members, with that, all in favor of the A15-0508 amendment with those changes, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Are there any other amendments? Questions to the bill?
What?
Chair Cornish, any closing comments?
Oh, no, I'd just like to thank the committee that would have put this together. I think it's fairly non-controversial. Actually, the only controversy is how we would spend the money and some disagreement, which accounts it might have gone into. But I think the whole committee time we had, we probably only had two roll call votes all session. And so I would ask for your support of the bill.
Has all the gun stuff in it.
Yeah. All right. See, no further discussion. All in favor of House File 849 as amended, being referred to the General Register, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion prevails. House File 849 as amended is referred to the General Register.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Chair Cornish. Next up is the Higher Education Bill. Chair Nornes.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hornstein.
While people are getting situated, this is more of a point of personal privilege. Lyndon Carlson turned 55 over the weekend.
Whoa.
So
whoa.
I thought that that would be of interest to the committee.
And Lyndon Carlson is our senior member. Congratulations, Chair Carlson.
And elected. Thank you, and I was just going to say that with the math that he's using there, I must have been about 12 when I was elected.
Well, I was wondering, but, you know, maybe the Constitution was different back then. Who knows?
Well, they were 12-year-olds could vote and be elected.
There was a bill, yeah. While we were getting set up, that Rukavina had to allow 18-year-olds to hold office. And I don't remember what happened to the bill, but
I've been
it passed out of at least one committee.
All right, and members, before we get started here, too, I do want to call your attention to, I believe we did distribute new committee rules that, as I had mentioned in our earlier part this morning, or I guess we'll distribute them right now, that make two changes, basically say, A, if you can't make it here, you are considered excused anyway, and B, that future committee amendment deadlines will be 2 hours before the start of the committee. And hopefully that will make things more consistent as we deal with the bills.
I didn't think it would be.
With that, Representative Nornes moves that House File 845 be referred to the General Register. Chair Nornes, can you give us a walkthrough and overview of your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I thought, as just an added feature, as available, I'll give you the score for the wild game if you're...
Yes.
If that's proper.
Go ahead.
Well, there's no score yet, but I'm just saying.
Thanks, bud.
Well, there is a score. It's 0-0.
0-0, that's correct.
All right.
If it lulls a little bit, I'll make up the score. So, well, thank you, members. Again, the Higher Education Omnibus Bill, as always, is focused on students and trying to do the best for the students that not only live here in the state of Minnesota, but others that come to Minnesota to get an education. A couple of the real quick high points. Tuition freeze is, again, something we've tried to accomplish. And for the two-year schools, we have a tuition freeze in our bill for the first year. And I'm glad to also report a reduction of 1% in the second year. For the four-year schools, there will be a tuition freeze in the second year. Also, the state grant program should be strong with about a $20 million surplus remaining in that that account. I will now walk through the important parts of the bill that you're waiting for. It appropriates $53,470,000 above the higher education base. That will combine the target of
that target number just gave you $53,470,000 with $53 million rather, reallocated from the state grant program. So we got $53,470,000 on top of that $53 million. Brings the total amount is $106,470,000. Of that, $105 million will be used for the MinSTU two-year college tuition freeze of both years and a reduction in tuition the second year. Additionally, this total will be used for a MinSTU four-year university tuition freeze in the year 2017. The remaining funds, which totals $1,470,000, will be used to fund the Teachers Shortage Loan Forgiveness Program, the implementation of associate degree transfer pathways, and MinSTU, the implementation of the campus sexual assault policies. One other item is the school year-long student teaching pilot program, which is Senator Perdahl's bill. Two additional policy pieces included, but do not require appropriation. MinSTU and the university have a completion plan and a remedial education requirement for MinSTU. Those are the main highlights as what's in the bill. We can go through the spreadsheet if you care, Mr. Chair, or whatever the committee would wish. We can walk through more detail. The rest of the bill, by the way, is as the same language and the same appropriations as the last biennium. So that's unchanged.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, he referenced going through the spreadsheet, but, maybe at least Representative Nornes could comment about the distribution of the very limited funds. If you recall, when we amended the budget resolution this morning, putting more money into the University of Minnesota. I mentioned that my understanding of the bill tonight, that was the only money going into the University of Minnesota. And I said my issue wasn't where the money was being distributed. It's my understanding that it ends up going to Crookston and Morris. But your bill gives zero funding increase to the Minneapolis campus, the St. Paul campus, the Duluth campus, and the Rochester Center, let alone all of the research initiatives at the U and various facilities around the state that are devoted to various research within the University of Minnesota. And so I understand, in one sense, your dilemma. You made the choice that the dollars that you had available, which were very limited, went to MinSTU. I don't argue about your trying to provide something for MinSTU. I'm just concerned about the overall funding of the bill and then the way the distribution ended up. So perhaps if Representative Nornes could comment on what is happening with the University of Minnesota in this budget.
Well, Representative Carlson, I guess, Lim, if I can ask you first, I do know that the distribution of the additional money that we authorized this morning is in the author's amendment, 821.
Yeah.
I guess I know we're going to have discussion to the point you raised. Would you like Chair Nornes to go through the spreadsheet at all, or should we move on to the bill?
The reason I brought up that point now is that he volunteered to go or asked if we wanted to go through the spreadsheet, and the point I was making was within the spreadsheet, the distribution of the dollars. If you would prefer to wait until we get to the amendment, that's fine, but the way the spreadsheet reflects the distribution of the dollars, with the exception of the change this morning and then the amendment, nothing is going into the University of Minnesota beyond that roughly $4 million or whatever the exact amount was this morning. So I was tying it into the spreadsheet, but if you want to wait until the amendment, that's fine.
Okay, well, yeah, Representative Carlson, I guess I just wanted to make sure that we completed the presentation however everyone was comfortable with, and I guess if you wanted to go through the spreadsheet, we could. I guess otherwise maybe we move on to the amendments, but Chair Nornes,
I'm not sure that the spreadsheet reflects the amendment that we're going to offer tonight, does it?
Oh, the spreadsheet does reflect the amendment
okay.
that's going to be offered, yes.
Okay.
Well, maybe in that case we should offer the author's amendment. Chair Nornes, moves the A21 amendment. Chair Nornes.
Thank you, Chair. Chair Knobloch, the A21, there's $3.3 million additional to the higher education budget. Allocating this way $1.5 million to Crookston, it'll be used to reinstate and support an agricultural education program and enhance the health science program on that campus. $1.4 million designated for the Morris campus, and that has a number of items that will be funded through that. $450,000 is to renovate some classrooms and small group spaces in that campus. $250,000 will improve other classroom seating possibilities, including technology. $300,000 to upgrade digital and wireless capabilities on the campus at the library. And $400,000 would be to upgrade the college athletics and recreation facilities. So on the Morris campus, there's a number of improvements at Crookston specific to the agricultural education program. In addition to that, we've added $30,000 to the campus sexual assault portion of our bill, $298,000 for the United Family Medicine residency program, and $100,000 for the school-long student teaching program, which originally had been allocated $100,000, and it felt $200,000 would be necessary to properly fund that. Mr. Chair, that's the amendment.
Okay, discussion to the A21 amendment.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I already commented about the amendment. I don't, maybe others want to comment, but I have no problem with this amendment. My problem is the bigger picture. So I'll drop it and maybe comment again later or ask my question again later.
Sure. See no discussion. All in favor of the A21 amendment, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. The A21 amendment is adopted. And members, I think, as far as I know, we have just one other amendment, the A20 amendment, which I believe is sort of a clarifying amendment. Maybe we can do that now, too. Chair Nornes moves the A20 amendment. Chair Nornes, can you tell us about the A20 amendment?
That's simply Representative Bennett has a provision in my bill dealing with the loan forgiveness for veterinary medicines or medical students, and it just tweaks that program. That's all it does.
Okay. Discussion to the A20 amendment. Seeing no discussion. All in favor of the A20 amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. The A20 amendment is adopted. All right, members, discussion to the bill as amended. Representative Horstein?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to comment on one item that's not in here. I had the opportunity to meet with a group, some of whom are behind me, and others had to leave earlier. They were the group called Unite to Fight Paralysis, and they have been advocating for Representative Hamilton's bill to provide funding for research into addressing spinal cord injuries. And I think many of us have met with them, and I'm disappointed because it's a relatively modest amount compared to the that they're asking compared to the broader budget that we're dealing with, and I think it can have a lot of impact and change lives. And their stories are powerful, and they're here, and I know that you don't take testimony, but I did want to call attention to this issue and to these citizens that are here with us tonight. So I hope that as this bill moves forward, as the process moves forward, the conference committee, I know there is some money that the Senate has put in for this, that we would be able to give voice to these concerns.
We haven't been contacted by anyone about giving testimony tonight. As I think you know, we We have made that opportunity available to people, and I guess if someone wants to, we certainly could allow that.
Thank you for that opportunity, Mr. Chair.
Sir, welcome to the Committee on Ways and Means. If you could, please give us your name and then give us your testimony.
Mr. Chair, my name is Matthew Roderick, and I actually represent also two organizations, Unite to Fight Paralysis, but also Get Up, Stand Up to Cure Paralysis, which is Minnesota-based, of which many of the folks are here today. I know I've talked with many of you, and our folks have talked with many of you over the course of the session, and so I don't want to take too much of your time and reiterate what you've already heard. I just want to take the opportunity to, again, as Representative Hornstein mentioned, there's some disappointment from our community in the 5 years that we've been working towards this initiative, which really comes out of a number of states, a dozen states around the country, where we see advances in the field of neuroscience that are providing alternative treatments. Alternative treatments, not the right word, innovative treatments for paralysis. And those places are popping up around the country, and they're not here. And they're not here principally because they're not funded here, much of them. And there's even opportunity this year to fund some projects that are trying to replicate some of those, which I think I even talked with you, Mr. Chair, about the Mayo and trying to replicate what's happening at UCLA and University of Louisville in Kentucky using a device made by Medtronic, re-engineered device. That opportunity is here now. It is not a off-on-the-horizon possibility. It's not a pie-in-the-sky vision that we're all sharing, but it's actually reality. And we're disappointed to see that it may very well, again, this year not be funded to bring Minnesota into that fold of places where innovations are really happening for our community. We've been doing this, as I said, 5 years, and in those 5 years, there've a lot of advances have been made, and we would only hope to see that continue. I think one of the things that confuses us a little bit, particularly for, I'm not a conservative, but for a conservative ideology that I've come to understand a little bit and respect, is that there's a kind of entrepreneurial spirit, philosophy in that. That there is risk involved and there is vision involved. And here's an opportunity for us to invest in a future and invest in really two things. Not relying on our stories, which, as Representative Hornstein mentioned, are sometimes powerful, but really relying on a fiscal picture. 10,500 people in this state cost about $600 million a year to HHS. And we have an opportunity to reduce that cost. We also have an opportunity to bring revenue to the state, because every other state that I mentioned of the dozen states have seen 5 to 6 to 7-fold return on investment from the NIH from committing dollars to this kind of research. So there's real opportunity aside from the possibility of creating innovation. There's opportunity to draw revenue to the state and in the long term reduce a significant amount of cost. That's a little confounding to me, but I appreciate the time, and I appreciate the time we've had with many of you to talk about this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Representative Wagenius.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Nornes, I'm looking on page 8 of your bill, and it's the Agricultural and Extension Service, so the Ag Special. And it's my understanding, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, that this amount of money did not increase in your budget over the last year's budget. I'm correct about that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Norris. That is correct, yes. It's stayed even.
So here's my question. I understand that in the agriculture finance bill, there are millions of dollars being proposed to be sent to just a group of folks who apparently want to do some of the same kind of things that the U is doing. And my question is why we aren't funding our already established program, which you must like because you're at least funding it where it is. So I don't understand what's going on here. Help me out.
Chair Norris.
Well, Representative, or Mr. Chair and Representative Guineas, I'm not sure I can. I'm not sure the difference between what they're doing and what, I mean, it's additional that came to the Ag Committee. I don't know if it has to do with the flu outbreak with the turkeys right now, if that's part of what they're spending the money on. I know some is for additional ag educators. A number of issues.
Representative Wagenius, I can tell you that, and I guess I wish that Chair Hamilton were here, but I can tell you that there is several million dollars in the agriculture finance bill that is anticipated is going to be going to the University of Minnesota for various agriculture research programs. And I guess I'm sorry that off the top of my head I can't give you a specific number or tell you a lot more than that, but I know that it's an initiative that that Representative Hamilton's been working on, and I know there's other money in there too that is proposed to go to some other various agriculture marketing groups, which I think have had an appropriation like that the last few years. But beyond that, my understanding is there is several million dollars that I believe is going to end up at the University of Minnesota for some agricultural research. Representative Wagenius.
Perhaps I could ask counsel about this, because my understanding was it was money just going to a group of folks who are listed, you know, it's mainly special interest groups who are listed in the agriculture bill to spend a certain amount of money. It's not for the flu. I totally support that. Can you describe to the committee a little bit better what's going on since Representative Hamilton isn't here?
Council, do you know some things about this?
Mr. Chair and Representative Wagenius, yes, I do. I also staff the Agriculture Committee. Representative Hamilton's bill would create an ag research board, and that board would have authority to determine grants that could go for agricultural research, as the chair said, for agricultural education, or for rapid response to agricultural pests and disease.
A representative?
That's kind of my understanding, and of course, in the ag special in here, you can do all the same things. Rapid response, there's education, there's research. So I'm not understanding why we are making two silos rather than putting the money here. And that's, of course, what this committee should be discussing.
Yeah, and I guess all I can really say, Representative Wagenius, is obviously Chair Hamilton's bill isn't here yet. As we discussed on the floor, we delayed it a bit so we could have a more proper response to the avian flu crisis. I guess we'll have to ask him those questions. You can certainly ask him those questions when the bill gets to Ways and Means, or when we have the hearing in Ways and Means, which I would anticipate will be sometime this week, but I don't have a scheduled day yet.
It does feel somewhat uncoordinated to me, so that's why I'm asking. And that's
right. Okay.
If they're only to go to those things, then we have...
Yeah, I regret that Representative Hamilton isn't here to address your questions directly, Representative Wagenius. I guess if I knew more myself that I felt confident in telling you, I would. Other questions for Chair Norris? Representative Pawlowski, then Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This isn't a question. It's an observation on the bill. It's a continuation of the discussion we had the night we set targets. We have a surplus. This bill freezes tuition partially, and I do mean partially. There will be tuition increases for the University of Minnesota, and the consequence of that we now know is debt, record debt. There will be tuition increases for at least half of those who are in the four-year colleges in the Minsky system. Those tuition increases will, of course, incur debt, and the consequences go on for decades. What's interesting that isn't in the bill is that for the last 2 years, we have also had some type of oversight. And the oversight that we put in place in 2013 and 14 was that we would ban administrative bonuses to the highest paid public employees in the state. They would not get a bonus, which is paid for by tuition, consequently debt. We also said that if you're going to cut programs, then you're going to take a look at administrators first, your highest paid individuals. And when you do cut a program, it's going to be only after you have done everything you can to reduce administrative oversight and made sure that those programs and the faculties that teach or the faculty that teach the program remain intact. Mr. Chair, we have a surplus. And yet, once again, we have put the burden of higher education on the backs of the students. We cut higher education all during the recession. We used it to balance the budget. Tuition went up by record amounts. The bill partially, and I do mean partially, takes a look at a selected group of students. But the other interesting part of the bill is it takes money from the grant program. We've never taken money from the grant program in this way. The grant program's been hit. It was hit when we were in crisis and we were billions in debt. I'm not exactly sure that the interpretation of the grant program as a, quote, surplus is a valid interpretation. The grant program was built at a different time when we were going with high tuition, high aid. We're not in that time anymore. We're freezing tuition. We have declining enrollment. The program that exists before us is a different program. I don't think this is the time to use that money for something else. So it's not a question for Representative Nornes, it's an observation, Mr. Chair. I would hope that as this bill proceeds from conference committee that there can be significant adjustments, and that those adjustments not be raising tuition and incurring debt for students.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Representative Pawlowski covered it quite well. I find this bill particularly troubling. Higher education is vitally important to the state of Minnesota, vitally important to our economy. And each one of the systems and the missions within the systems plays an extremely important role. Minsku with their two-year institutions, our community colleges and our tech colleges, and then our four-year institutions. The missions of the University of Minnesota research. We heard some testimony here tonight about the importance of research, and that was in just one field. And then, of course, extension and then education. With this particular bill, what I found troubling is that we are underfunding Minsku, and we're not only underfunding then the University of Minnesota, with the exception of the amendment that went on tonight that I think I alluded to it as $4 million this morning, but it was a little over $3 million that goes to two of the campuses, so it'll help those campuses, but we are forgetting the missions of the University of Minnesota, and as I said earlier tonight, we're forgetting the University of Minnesota Duluth, the Twin Cities campuses, and Rochester. I think we're just selling the state of Minnesota extremely short. You and I sat in on the tax committee much of this afternoon. You know, there's a $2 billion tax cut in that bill, and just a modest amount of that money, or what we've got left on the bottom line here, would have helped immensely with the appropriate funding of higher education. But as Representative Pawlowski pointed out, my concern, and probably everybody on this committee, it should be their concern, is that when our higher education institutions are not funded appropriately, they have to turn to tuition, then the students have to pay that increased tuition, or as the university and Minsky both have pointed out, when we talk tuition, we really, they tell us that we should be talking about the cost of attendance. It's not just tuition when we start talking about higher educational opportunities, as Representative Pawlowski pointed out. And there's a lot of publicity about the problems that student debt are creating. And it's my understanding, and maybe Representative Nornes can correct me on this, but I think that under this bill, if it were to become law, well, I'll just pose the question. I won't even quote a number. What is the projected tuition increase at the University of Minnesota under this bill?
Chair Nornes.
Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson, the indication is it would be 3% each year.
Okay, and Representative Carlson.
And that was the number that I thought I remembered, and a 3% tuition increase at this point in time, when you look at the history of what's happened. It wasn't too many years ago that students paid one-third of the cost of instruction. And there's others here now that are probably a little bit closer to it than I am today, but I think it's fair to say that that's probably about double now in terms of the cost of instruction that tuition is covering. And like I say, you put into that all of the other costs, the cost of attendance, and that's driving student debt. And with all due respect, I neglected to point out that the chair of the tax committee was here when we were spending our afternoon listening to various people testify on that one. Unfortunately, we didn't hear from higher education before the tax committee, but just about everybody else that was being impacted, pro and con, came forward and commented about the tax bill. And there were those from the education community, K-12, that testified about the negative impact. I don't know if anybody notified you, Mr. Davids, from higher education, but I think truly they should have been there conveying the same message that the rest of the education community was, and probably maybe even in stronger terms in terms of what this bill is doing for our students at our colleges and universities. But I'll stop there. I hope that this is modified in conference committee. Thank you.
Chair Nornes, any final words you'd like to say on behalf of your bill?
Well, a couple of things, I guess. I don't believe the tuition increase, we should expect that to be automatic. I think the system itself needs to look at their ways to be more efficient, not just to pass it on to the students. That's the easy way out, but we'll see how that works out. I should point out to you that we're not abandoning the university. We're still giving them $1.2 billion in our budget. And that is that's an even number, but still, it's a fair amount of money. A couple other things, just point out, and we have, as is obvious, tried to use our money to help as much as we could with the Minsky system. Should point out to you that there are 90,000 two-year full-time students. There are 55,000 four-year full-time students, for a grand total of 145,000 students in the Minsky system. If you add in that the part-timers, it's 410,000 students. So it's a big system. I think that's why we felt, with the limited resources, that's where we were going to try to make the best impact. So that's where we're at, Mr. Chair.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm not sure quite where he was headed about the Minsky system. I wasn't arguing against the money going into the Minsky system. My point is there's not enough going there with this bill. More should have been going to the Minsky system, in my view, and much more should have been going, because they were at virtually zero until this morning, to the University of Minnesota as well. That we're just underfunding higher education literally across the board with both systems.
Seeing no further discussion, Chair Nornes renews his motion that House File 845, as amended, be referred to the General Register. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion prevails. House File 845, as amended, is referred to the General Register. And members,
I did. Oh.
just an announcement for tomorrow. Tentatively, we are on for noon to take up the environment and then the state government finance bill. And I think we're in room 5. So, members, we will see you tomorrow. And if you have amendments, please get them in if you can by 10 a.m. With that, members, we are adjourned. And we got plenty of time to watch the last part of the Wild game, too, for those who were concerned.